Last night, the Northfield School Board met for the final time, I believe, in 2021. It's on to 2022. We have Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman, joining us. Matt, thank you so much for coming in today.
It's always a pleasure, Jeff. Great to see you today.
Mm-hmm. You had the last meeting of the calendar year.
The calendar year,
the
correct,
school
yes,
year,
yep.
Or the fiscal year, but you did have some fiscal things that happened last night, and that is the school levy. Tax levy, I should say, for the school district was approved last night. Give us the details of that.
So we held our truth in taxation hearing that's required last evening. And so part of that, Director of Finance Val Mertesdorf presents the proposed levy. Of course, back in September, we adopted the preliminary levy at the maximum that you are allowed, and you can't go more than what your maximum levy authority was when after you adopt the preliminary levy. Adopted levy last night is slightly less than what was the preliminary levy. So our tax levy will be down 1.5% over last year. The total is $20,947.48, if you want to get specific. So I think one of the key things is, Jeff, this time of year, I know you have a number of other administrators, you know, who come through from other governmental jurisdictions to talk about their truth in taxation presentations that are required under law, and really, we are so different. The school district is so different from the other taxing jurisdictions. Our levy is highly regulated by the state government, and so the vast majority of our levy is directly derived from student counts. Now, we also have quite a bit that's voter approved, which we're very grateful to the community for their generous support of our schools over the years. But even that, most of that is really generated based upon the number of students that you have. So as we've talked about many times before, the demographic study that we had done nearly a decade ago that we're updating right now had indicated we'd see declining enrollment, and that is coming true. And so we have less students this year than we did last year. This was predicted long before the pandemic. And so the real reason for the levy being down 1.5% is we have less students this year than last year. So, you know, for what we should see is for people whose homes are the same valuation as they were last year, which, you know, that does not happen very often. Mm-hmm. Theoretically, if you have a $200,000 home, your taxes would be around 7% less for 2022 as they were in 2021. Again, we know that that's a rarity that anybody's mm-hmm. home stays the exact same value. But so we were able to present that truth in taxation levy. The key thing is that the levy will be down 1.5% for a total of just a hair over $20 million.
Now, you have, with reduced revenues coming in, reduced students, you have reduced revenues. Is there much of a change in the expenses that the school has? Are you able to cut a little bit to make up for that, or are your finances, are your expenses fixed?
So, as you all know, the school district has invested a lot of dollars, about $59 million of our budget, into serving students in the community. So, our costs for the year are fixed, but we have had excellent financial, and they're not necessarily fixed. It's very difficult, obviously, to scale back anything during the school year. But, Jeff, we've talked many times about the really quality financial stewardship that the school district has done, you know, for, I would say, the last 15 or 16 years. We have a fund balance goal of 16%. So that means that we want to have 16% of our annual expenditures in reserve, in the bank, if you will. That provides us that flexibility to address a number of things, including the massive uncertainty that was created at the beginning of the pandemic, right? We all knew that there were some additional expenses that we needed to be able to handle how we have been teaching students during a pandemic and serving families during a pandemic. So that good financial management that we have had over the years allows us to work through things like this. But I've also talked with you about state funding, and that state funding hasn't kept up with inflation for 30 years, and we certainly have seen the latest inflation index coming out of the CPI. And so we know that even the historic investment that was made by the legislature last session is not even enough to keep up with almost a third of inflation this year. So moving forward, we know that we can't outrun chronic underfunding from the state. So we'll be looking at what we're calling a priority-based budgeting process, where we're going to be looking out 5 years And trying to ensure that we're able to live within what we have over the next 5 years. So we'll be talking about that after January.
And you also, one of the requirements that the state, I believe is the state, requires you get an audit each year. That was discussed last night. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the audit is, again, another indicator of financial health, and I'm really proud to report to the community that this audit presentation from Clifton Larson Allen was not just excellent, it was superb. And so this is really important for the community to have the confidence in how the district handles its finances. Of course, the audit is about how do you have processes and procedures in place to make sure that the money is spent properly, it's coded appropriately based upon state and federal law. So, you know, we have around a $59 million expenditure budget, and there were no findings at all. So a finding would be if they look at some kind of process issue or internal control. We had no findings, and they issued a clean audit. This is huge. It's not the first time that we've had this happen, but it is unusual. And especially the auditor, Craig Popenhagen from Clifton Larson Allen, made special discussion about how challenging this was when we were talking about responding to the pandemic, the infusion of some of the rescue funds that we had with rules that changed as sometimes as we went along. And so we're very proud that we have a clean audit. Not only is it a clean audit, no findings, they also do something that's called a single audit, where they even go into deeper detail. And if you have $750,000 of total federal expenditure, so this is another layer of, you know, looking under the hood, if you will. They tested special education, which they do almost every year, and the coronavirus relief funds, and they found no compliance issues. So we really want to just congratulate Director of Finance Val Murdestorf and her team in our finance office for the work that they've done to put processes and procedures in place to make sure that our taxpayers can have the confidence that their money is being spent and the funds are being handled appropriately.
Boy, that is... It's good to know, you know, as a taxpayer and here in town, that they're crossing their T's, dotting their I's, and every single one of them, probably in a large stack of papers, every single one of those came out correct. So good deal. You changed the meeting time last night as well. You'll be meeting an hour earlier.
Yes, yeah, so
almost be like daylight savings time.
I think it's important. let's not get into that, Jeff. Okay. That's a whole other kettle of fish. You know, I think that it's important for the board. You know, the board is often dealing with real important, specific issues, and some important issues that the board rarely looks at other than its organizational meeting in January are how does the board do its work, right? That's an important piece of not just what are the decisions made, but what are the how does the board do its work? And one of the things is, when do you have your meeting, right? And so the board did vote last night to begin in January to start meeting at 6 p.m. as opposed to 7 p.m. Boards met at 7 p.m. for many, many years, but they're going to move the meeting to 6 p.m. Part of that was really just trying to back it up a little bit so that we would have the meeting end a little bit earlier. We know that we do use quite a bit of our meeting time. Our goal is it's not our goal. We are required to have our meeting in less than 3 hours whenever possible. There actually has to be a motion to go beyond 10 o'clock under the current 7 o'clock start time. And, you know, we use our board meetings in a variety of different ways. Some school districts might have one business meeting and one work session. We have two business meetings, but that often includes reports that you would typically maybe hear in a work session. So our meetings typically do go two and a half hours. And so just making sure that some of those important discussions are taking place a little bit earlier in the evening was really the main discussion that the board had. And so, again, beginning in January, we'll start meeting at 6 p.m. And then they also modified the policy to say that whenever possible, the meetings should end by 9 p.m.
Superintendent Matt Hillman is with us from the Northfield School District. Your strategic plan was adopted last night.
Yes, and as you know, we've talked about this many times, Jeff, and a strategic plan, you know, if you're listening, you might think, well, who cares about that? That sounds like a foofy, you know, term. But a strategic plan is really important, you know, to any organization, any of the business community who's listening. They all have a strategic plan. You have a strategic plan of how you're going to run your business here at KYMN The One. And ours is just as important, if not even more important, because of the people who we serve and the funding that we are entrusted with. And so we try to update our strategic plan at least every 5 years. And so the last time we updated this was in 2016, so it was time to update it. The board, we started this way back last spring when we started having meetings with staff and some of our advisory groups. This fall, we had several meetings, as we talked about, with opportunities for members of the community. We presented an initial draft in early November. We had an opportunity for a work session solely about the strategic plan in November, and then we brought this back to the board last night for approval. So this has been a long process, a little longer than we normally would have done had it not been for the pandemic, but we are there. And so the board did do some minor adjustments of the vision. So the new school district vision is we prepare every student for lifelong success by developing critical thinkers who are curious and ready to engage in our society. Now, if that doesn't fire you up, Jeff, I don't know what does. I mean, that's what we are charged with, helping pave the way for our future through educating children. And I think we all want people who think critically. We all want people who are curious and they're prepared to be engaged in our society. That's something that's very important to Northfielders. And we want to make sure that we're doing that for every student. And the word every is underlined. That's really important. There are five strategic commitments that we've identified: people, learner outcomes, equity, communication, stewardship, and partnerships. And those all have a sentence that come after them. The one that I want to focus on is just, sometimes in education we've heard this term equity used in a variety of different ways, and I just want to define what we mean by equity. Our statement around equity is that we ensure that every, underlined every, child has a fair opportunity to reach their full potential. So that means that we are trying to remove barriers for kids to be able to pursue the American dream. And so when we think about equity, you hear this, you read a lot of the term has been misused. It has been intentionally misused. But when we come back to it, the word equity in our really talks about basic human decency, and that we ensure every child has a fair opportunity to reach their full potential. We want to be transparent in our communication. We want to prepare kids academically and socially. That's our learner outcomes. We know that we're a people business, so we prioritize the engagement and satisfaction and support of our students, staff, and family. And we are very blessed with a lot of partnerships in this community. And so we want to make sure that our partners, we are using those partners in a way that helps accelerate the achievement of our goals. They also adopted 11 benchmarks. And these benchmarks align with the Northfield Promise benchmarks. Now, they're not word for word, but they align with the Northfield Promise benchmarks. With Northfield Promise is a collaboration of 20 community organizations, including county government, city government, the hospital, the colleges, the business community, who are all saying, let's make sure that all of our resources, all of our ideas are going in the same direction, so that we're providing an efficient vision, we're providing an efficient method, you know, of making sure that kids get what they need to be successful. So we're talking about things like being ready for kindergarten, being connected to your community, reading at grade level in math, and reading at grade level and being at grade level in mathematics. We're talking about exhibiting physical, social, and emotional well-being, having a connection with a caring adult beyond their parents, making sure that every kid has interests, goals, and a vision for the future by the end of eighth grade. They have a chart of, here's, I can see myself being successful, that positive future narrative, so critical for kids. I'm talking about when kids graduate from high school that they have a plan to reach their full potential. We don't care what that plan is, but that you have a plan. It could be entering the world of work. It could be going to a highly selective four-year college. It could be doing a rotary semester abroad. But you have a plan for what you're going to do after high school. Not that that can't change too, right? Mm-hmm. We want our employees to have satisfaction in the workplace. We want our parents to be satisfied with their children's educational experience. We want to have a fiscally healthy district that maintains 16% of its annual expenditures as part of our unassigned fund balance to address the uncertainties that we have from time to time, like I shared. And we want our community education program to provide relevant and accessible learning opportunities for all residents. So those are the benchmarks we're excited about. We'll start to roll this out here over the next month or so. So thanks for letting me share it. We're really excited about the community participation. We didn't have as many people participate, but we really got robust feedback from all of our stakeholders.
You know, a plan is only as good as its implementation is,
execution.
As you well know. How often will you look into this from a board level, look back and say, hey, are we achieving this? Is this what we're doing? How often do you do that?
For sure, every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you know, you've attended, I offer the State of the District presentation every fall. You saw this year I gave some reports around those, what we had five strategic commitment areas at that time. So that's one way that I'll be presenting it to the board and to the community. Also, about half of these benchmarks also are required to be reported through the state's World Best Workforce Program or statute. So we basically will report on that in a public hearing every October. So multiple times a year, Jeff, we'll be looking. Not only will the board be looking at it, but we'll be sharing it directly with the community.
Superintendent Hillman is with us. We only have a couple of minutes left, but each of the meetings for the past year and a half, almost 2 years, you've given a COVID update. What was last night? What did that involve?
Yeah, so the real important part of last night's COVID update is we offered a draft of some potential exit criteria. Now, and when we talk about exit criteria, we're talking about exiting from the current safety protocols that we have, which is universal masking, as we've talked about, quarantine, and some other pieces that go along with that. So as we know, the conditions in Minnesota right now are not great. In fact, they're among the top 5 weeks or so of the worst that we've been since the beginning of the pandemic. So we're not trying to say, oh my God, it's over. But we are trying. We always acknowledge the difficulty that we're in. But once we had elementary school vaccination available to 5 through 11 year olds, Jeff, we had an unknown become a known, and we could then chart what is the way forward where we could exit from the safety protocols that we have and really get back to normal. Having kids in person every day is the most important thing. We're prioritizing uninterrupted in-person learning. The draft that the board heard last night really included three different pieces. One is that in order for us to exit the current safety protocols, and again, this is a draft. Nothing was adopted. It was simply the first effort to share with the board last night. The school influenza-like illness rate would need to be less than 5% on average per week. That has not been a problem all year. That's a statistic we've used for years. We're in very good shape with that, but that's one of our pieces we want to make sure we look at. And then the second part is a chart, Jeff, that talks about what is the current, what we're calling an immunity rate. So the total number of K-12 students vaccinated plus the total number of K-12 students who had a COVID infection in the last 90 days. And we look at that percentage starting at less than 60 and going up to 80. And that informs, when you look over to the right, depending on where we land in that grid, we look over how many cases, what would the 7-day case rate per 100,000 county residents need to be under for 3 consecutive weeks to show that we are showing lower transmission. So the concept is the higher that we have immunity within our school system, the greater number of cases we could allow in that 7-day case rate at the county level, because our local population would be more protected, if you will, against that. So that's where we're starting. It's really an if-then statement, and just using what our immunity rate is within the system to inform what could we allow the transmission rate to be.
All right. Superintendent Hillman, thank you so much for coming in today.
It's my pleasure,
Jeff. Much appreciated, and we'll see you again soon.
Take care.
Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. We've got Rich with local news headlines coming up in just a moment or so. Here's state news with MNN.
Current and former Amazon employees are speaking out after a report that Amazon warehouse workers in Minnesota are over twice as likely to be injured on the job as counterparts who work for other companies. Fardosa Youssef said through an interpreter that when he was injured, he was sent home and the record was deleted from the system.
Then I went to my doctors, and when I brought the right documents from my doctor, they told me that we do not accept this particular papers or this report.
State Representative Emma Greenman promises hearings when lawmakers go back into session. The Minnesota National Guard breaks ground on a new training and community center today in Laverne in the southwest corner of the state. And authorities are reminding Minnesotans that ice thickness varies greatly at this time of year. The Scott County Sheriff's Office says there is no such thing as 100% safe ice. The DNR recommends 4 inches of clear ice for walking. This is MNN.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call an 800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local, independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. At this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Call Hartman Insurance of Northfield today at 507-645-5693.
From the KYMN News Center, Rich Larson is back with us with a look at local news headlines. Rich?
Hi, Jeff. The Minnesota State Legislature will